morning.
I'd like you to turn with me over to the book of Job, in the very beginning, to the first chapter. Pick up beginning in verse 6. It reads, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves to the Lord. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, From where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? Have you blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land? But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." Some say this is how it works. God populated the earth with broccoli and cauliflower and spinach, green and yellow vegetables of all kinds, so man and woman would live long and healthy lives. Then Satan created McDonald's. And McDonald's brought forth the double cheeseburger. Then Satan said to man, You want fries with that? And man said, Supersize them. And man gained pounds. God created healthy yogurt so women might keep their figure that man found so fair. Then Satan brought forth chocolate, and woman gained pounds. God said, Try my crispy, fresh salad. And Satan brought forth ice cream, and woman gained more pounds. God said, I have set your heart healthy vegetables and olive oil with which to cook them. And Satan brought forth chicken fried steak so big it needs its own platter. And man gained pounds, and his bad cholesterol went through the roof. So God brought forth running shoes, and man resolved to lose those extra pounds. Then Satan brought forth cable TV with remote control so man would not have to toil to change channels, and man gained even more pounds. So God brought forth a potato, a vegetable naturally low in fat and brimming with nutrition. Then Satan peeled off the healthy skin and sliced the starchy center into crisp chips and deep fat fried them and created sour cream dip also. And man plunged his remote control and ate the potato chips soaked in cholesterol. Satan saw it and said, It is good. And man went into cardiac arrest. God sighed and created quadruple bypass surgery. And Satan created HMOs to restrict the doctors that you could see. Have you ever wondered whether or not there is a devil? Satan is all around us his fault. God and Christ are good, but all around us is not always good. There is bad around us. Evil thoughts, evil things, evil men and women. We're on the news. We're in the middle of a war, maybe even a world war. All that bad is led by Satan. But what do you know about him? Satan, that's an interesting word. glorified by some, he's deified by other people. Throughout the centuries, some have feared him, others have worshipped him. Almost every culture has a name for him. And most of them can tell you what they think he looks like. As Christians, we have several names for him. Lucifer is one. The devil. The evil one. Probably the most common is that word, Satan. But who or what is Satan? Through the years, Christians have tended to lean towards extremes on the subject. Either they ignore Satan completely and hope that he isn't who the Bible says he is and does what the Bible says he does, or on the other side, they give him credit for every misfortune, every illness, every trouble that enters into our lives. One writer wrote it this way. Whenever you get red in the face, whenever you raise your voice, whenever you get hot under the collar or angry or rebellious or negative in spirit, then know that the Spirit of God is leaving you and the Spirit of saving is beginning to take you over. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's a cop-out. I'm old enough to remember a comedian whose name was Flip Wilson. You remember him? Lived from, and very active, from about 1959 till he died in 1998. And one of the characters that Flip always had was he made himself into a woman whose name was Geraldine Jones. Do you remember her? And she was always doing things that were wrong, and whenever she was caught, what was her favorite saying? The devil made me do it. Sometimes Satan is used as a scapegoat for our own disobedience, our own lack of control, our own lack of willpower. You know, the devil has his fingers in enough things that we don't have to blame him for every little thing that is our own personal shortcoming. But this morning, for the few moments that we share together, I want to tell you what the Bible says about Satan, about his origins, about his destiny, about who he is, the power that he has. Let me tell you about the person of Satan. We live in a very sophisticated world. People scoff at the ideal of Satan. There were two little boys that were talking one time. They had just come home from Sunday school. The subject of the devil had come up. And so one of the little boys asked the other little boy, what do you think of this devil business? And the guy scratched his chin for a little bit. And he said, well, you know how Santa Claus turned out. It's either your mother or your father. Or maybe sometimes the devil is your mother or your father. Hear me now. Satan is real as you are, as I am. He is the author of destruction and of evil. And he's not that comical figure that we sometimes see in our cartoons where he's running around in his red long johns with a pitchfork and side of his hand. Satan is alive, and the planet Earth is his playground. We can see him in witchcraft, Satanism, we can see him in the occult, and we can see him in astrology and religious false teachings. He's everywhere, and his influence is everywhere. Turn on the news, you realize that we're surrounded by evil. Either we're oblivious to it, or we've become immune to it. Joseph Conrad, he was an English writer, really of Polish descent, and he's most famous for the novel that he wrote called Lord Jim, maybe you read it. He said, the belief in a supernatural source of evil is not necessary. Men alone are quite capable of every wickedness. Well, yeah, we're very capable of every wickedness, but there is a devil. There is an evil source behind all of that. Mass murder, rape, brutality, dishonesty. Whenever and wherever people are victimized, it's the efforts of man, but it is the direct result of the work that is propagated by Satan. Jesus talked about him. We don't have time to look at all the scriptures. We could spend hours. Over in the book of Matthew in chapter 13, verse 38, Jesus called him the wicked one. And then in the next verse, he says he is the enemy. He calls him the devil. He says he's the one that's out sowing these evil seeds or tares among the good wheat. In John chapter 12, verse 3, he's called the prince of this world. In John 8, 44, he's called a liar. He's called a murderer. In Luke 10, 18, Jesus said he saw Satan fall from heaven. And in Matthew 12, 26, we're told that Satan has a kingdom. This is not the kind of person that you want as your next door neighbor, and is surely not the kind of person you want to date your daughter. Elsewhere in Scripture says that the devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Says he can produce false miracles. He can show himself even as an angel of light. And the list goes on and on. But why is he here? What is the purpose of Satan? To discover the purpose of Satan, I think we need to go further back into Scripture and see at the very beginning. And though we don't have time to study them all, go over to the book of Isaiah, go to the book of Ezekiel, and you can see him discussed in both of these great Old Testament books by these prophets. Putting together the story says that before God created the world, before he created mankind, there was a different realm, a spiritual realm. We could say it's a realm full of angelic beings. We could say it's full of angels. And of all of God's angels or creations, one, if not the favorite, was Lucifer. It's an interesting word. It means light bearer, morning star, shining one. You might want to turn over to the book of Isaiah in chapter 14 and verse 12. There it says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nation." In history, the name Lucifer was a name given to the planet Venus. It's tied up in ancient mythology, found in Greek and Latin literature. From this angelic creature, Isaiah used the word Lucifer because it follows in the Old King James Version. The Greek Septuagint manuscript uses the phrase bringer of light or bringer of dawn. The Latin Vulgate manuscript renders Lucifer, the very first English Bible that was translated under the direction of John Wycliffe back in the late 1300s, then used that Latin Vulgate manuscript and gave us the word Lucifer. King James and his translators kept that word in 1611 when they created the King James Version, the Bible that still is prominent in the world today. But many modern translations, you won't find Lucifer. They'll translate it as morning star or something similar. Let me surprise you. Lucifer was once a glorious and a beautiful angel. Go over to the book of Ezekiel. Follow me over to the 28th chapter. And as you find Ezekiel 28, let me set the stage. Here's a prophetic vision. And he is translating or giving instruction to what is called the Prince of Tyre, which we assume means the leadership of a corrupt city there. And then it gets a little stranger because after instruction has been to the Prince of Tyre, then God gives Ezekiel instruction to also to the King of Tyre. Different than the Prince. We assume that the King of Tyre is the spiritual leadership that motivates the Prince of Tyre, the devil. You're with me in Ezekiel chapter 28. Let me begin in verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they may gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you. And I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. I wish I could tell you what all that means. But at least it means that Lucifer was perfect. He was wise. He was beautiful. He walked with God. It says, until iniquity, sin was found in him. It was this angel, Lucifer, who led a rebellion in heaven against God, a war. Turn over to the end, to the book of Revelation. Look at chapter 12. I'm going to begin in verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The Creator will always be more powerful than the created. And Lucifer was cast out of heaven because of his sin. Oh, you'd have to write these down and study them at home, but if you go over to Jude, there's only one chapter, Jude, verse 6, or you go over to 2 Peter 2:4, or you look here in Revelation 12 where we are, but jump back up to verses 3 and 4, you put it all together and you come to the conclusion, though it's never specifically stated, that when Lucifer was cast out, a third, it says, of all the stars of heaven, maybe a third of all the angels were cast out with him. From that point on, he's no longer called Lucifer. Instead, he is called Satan. Satan means to be adverse or to hate. The devil, which literally means the slanderer or false accuser. But you go back to the very beginning in the book of Genesis, it was Satan who tempted Adam and Eve in the garden. It was Satan who appeared to Christ in the wilderness and tempted him to deny God. And it's Satan who will whisper in your ear, tell you it's all right, nobody's going to know. It's almost as if Satan thinks that if he causes enough people to sin, then God's going to have to bend the rules somehow and release him from his captivity in hell. Satan who twists and perverts Scripture tries to confuse the world about the truth of what God's Word says, look around. Why aren't Christians united? Because false doctrines teach things like denying the deity of Christ, denying the virgin birth of the Lord, denying creation, denying that this book is inspired in the authority of God, by denying the whole plan of salvation and just picking parts of it. Those false doctrines and more are the world devil. That's why it's wrong to say that one church is as good as another. It's wrong to say that it doesn't matter what you believe, that we're all going to go to the same place, we're just taking different roads. No, the world is full of false doctrine. And Satan is behind it to keep us confused and to keep us divided. Don't submit to false teaching. Read and study it yourself to see whether it's so. We shake our heads today as we look at the news and we ask, why is our government all messed up? Why are our schools all messed up? Why is our communities all messed up? Why are the churches all messed up? Because God's word has been taken out of those places for government or schools or communities, even our churches, and replaced with lies. Over to the Gospel of John in chapter 13, verse 2. Says that Satan was the one who enticed Judas to betray Christ. It's the Satan who convinces Christians to backslide and to deny Christ today. Over in John chapter 8, I'm going to begin in verse 42. Listen to the warning that Jesus gives. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil. And the desires of your father you do want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." That's the purpose of Satan. Destroy the work of God. And Satan is powerful. The Bible calls him the prince of this world. It calls him the prince of demons. The prince of the power of the air. He was the greatest creation of God in the beginning. It was Satan who was responsible for Christ being upon the cross, the persecution of the church ever since. But Satan's smart. Sometimes he says persecution doesn't achieve my goal. I have a better way. I'll make people just complacent. They'll no longer care. They won't stand up against sin. They won't stand up against me. Because they won't stand up for God. One person wrote, and I think it's interesting, "The best evidence of God's presence is the devil's growl." Think about that. If you don't hear him growling at you, maybe it's because he says he doesn't need to. Because he knows you have already backslid. Oh, he's cunning. You go over to Jude, look in verse 9, it says he contended for the body of Moses. Turn over to the book of Matthew in chapter 4, beginning at verse 8. Consider what Satan offered to the Lord when he was tempted by the devil. It says, "Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I give you if you will fall down and worship me. He could give him all the kingdoms of this world and the glory. If Satan didn't have the power to do that, it wouldn't have been much of a temptation. But over in Matthew 28:18, Jesus says, all authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. All authority. Complete authority. Including authority over Satan. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, he says, you are of God, little children, have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Christ is greater than Satan. And you belong to God if you have Christ in you. You get Christ in you when you're baptized into Christ. And if you've done that, then you've won. We can't stand up against Satan by our own power, but the greatest thing we have is the power of God, the power of Christ. Over in James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Before you can resist the devil, you have to submit to God. Punishment of Satan is interesting. We go back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. God pronounced the fate of Satan. He said that it would be the seed of woman who would deliver that punishment. Wouldn't be the seed of man and woman. It's going to be the seed of woman and the Holy Spirit. Christ was born in Bethlehem, not of man and woman. God had a part in that. And 33 years later, when Christ hung upon that cross, I'm sure Satan was dancing, saying, I won. Christ is dead. So 3 days later, Christ arose. And there was no dancing in hell when Jesus came out of the tomb. Jesus says in Matthew 25:41, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil. I wish we had the time, but I encourage you this week, go to the end. Go to Revelation chapter 20 and 21 and read it. Sometimes you get those books and you want to know how it's going to end. You go to the end, kind of ruins the story in between. I've read the end. The Lamb wins. Christ wins. We win. The devil loses. But the only way that affects you and me, me to have Christ. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, at the end of Joshua's life, he turns to the people and says, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a choice that all of us have to make. Who will we serve? The guy walking out there, like a roaring lion, wants to devour you. And he will, if we let him. This morning we're going to sing the song of invitation, Christ in